Each of us have had experiences that are permanently etched in our memories. Events that replay themselves on the screens of our minds as if they've only just happened, even after many years have passed from the original occurrence. Thankfully, most of these sorts of immediate recall memories I have are of especially happy moments, but a few are jolting. One of the jolting moments that is easily retrieved for me was on October the 5th, 2003. Actually, it was a few days before October 5th, 2003. I don't remember the exact date because that was not particularly important. What was important was proper 22-year B. More specifically, the gospel reading for proper 22-year B, which is the reading that we have had today. This reading is hard on the ears and hearts of many of us, and I dare say for most of us, because all of us have been affected by divorce in some way or another, even if we ourselves have not had to live through the hardship of the disillusion of a marriage. What made this particular day more memorable than any other Sunday that I was scheduled to preach in 2003 was that this was the first Sunday I was scheduled to preach after my husband had declared to me that he wanted a divorce. It would not consider any effort to rebuild our disintegrated marriage. And no, the rector that I was working with was not a person void of conscience or particularly cruel or heartless person. He merely had not read the readings before determining the preaching rota. When I brought the passage to his attention and told him I just didn't believe I could preach on it right then, he immediately agreed and let me off the hook. Thankfully, the years have softened that blow, but I would like to skip preaching on this passage still. This reading from Mark on divorce and moreover on marriage after divorce still makes me uncomfortable. In this passage, Jesus is really clear that remarriage after divorce is not okay. And all the rationalizing in the world cannot change his words in this passage. Marriage is a covenantal relationship that two people enter into, not only with each other, but also with God. And a covenant with God and God's economy cannot be broken. Thus the problem of remarriage after divorce. Of course, we hear infidelity is grounds for divorce, and in the Old Testament, a husband could issue a bill of divorce to his wife if he finds something objectionable about her. Never could a woman issue a bill of divorce to her husband. Infidelity then was a one-way street. Only a woman could be held accountable. And so if a man could give his wife a bill of divorce if she did something he found objectionable, we might imagine that divorces occurred at an even greater rate then than they do today. But we need to understand a little bit more about marriage and what that meant in Jesus' day and before. But not in an effort to lighten the effect of his words to us today, but to have an understanding of the serious nature of marriage, both then and now. In the ancient world, marriage was not only a union of two individuals, it was a union of two families. We understand that on a small scale today. We use words like in-laws to define the relationship we have with those who become our family through marriage. It's a legal word, that word, in-laws. In ancient times, it was much more than a legal joining. It was a literal joining of families, often arranged without the consent of those being joined together in marriage, and often for economic or political reasons. Remember, that was an honor-shame society, and the goal was always to bring honor to yourself and to your family. So if you divorce in that society, it brings dishonor on the woman and on her family. Divorce then often led to family feuds and not the game show variety, the fueling, brutal, deadly sort that might go on for generations. So while women throughout history have probably done things that their husbands found objectionable, and for the record, that goes both ways, Divorce was not done in an ancient world without repercussions. Divorce always has repercussions. Dissolution of covenantal relationships or of any relationships have repercussions. Yes, these words of Jesus are hard for us to wrestle with in this day and age, but wrestle with them we must. Not just in terms of how we live out our covenant relationship with those with whom we are joined in marriage, but how we live out our covenantal relationships with those with whom we are joined in Christ. We Christians, we followers of Jesus, have all entered into a covenantal relationship with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and with each other in the sacrament of baptism. And like the promises we make as we're joined together in marriage, we make equally important promises in our baptismal covenant. And even if we were not baptized in the Episcopal Church, we reaffirm those promises each time we bring another person into the body of Christ and on other occasions throughout the year. Perhaps we should reaffirm our marriage covenant with our spouses as frequently as we do the baptismal covenant. In each of these covenants that we enter into of our own will and volition, we make some big promises about how we will live in these relationships, because that is what this whole thing, this whole journey of faith is about: relationships. And what we say is that we will be faithful people and we will be in this relationship. And not only will we be in this relationship, but we will give of ourselves to maintain this relationship. In marriage, each person promises to love, cherish, comfort, honor, and keep the other in sickness and in health, in richness and in poverty, to forsake all others until parted by death. In our baptismal covenant, we promise to continue in the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers. I'm not really sure that we've wrangled with this first promise as much as we have the other four, but this is the promise to be engaged, to be present and engaged with each other in learning and in relationship. That's what the apostles' teaching and fellowship is about. We cannot be in fellowship apart from each other. This, not unlike the marriage covenant, is a promise that we make to be in with this relationship with God and with each other. We then promise to repent and return when we fall into sin. Not if we fall into sin, but when we fall into sin. And that promise is full of grace for us. We will sin. We will make mistakes. But we are always offered forgiveness if we repent and return. Third, we promise to proclaim by word and our example the good news of God in Christ. In this, we promise that all aspects of our lives will reflect that we are followers of Jesus. We then promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. In this promise, there is no room for looking for anything but good in others. This further defines how we will relate to others. The first promise is that we will be in relationship with all other believers, and this one takes it to another level. We must seek Christ in all persons. Finally, we promise to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. We cannot strive to divide or separate. We must strive, and strive means actively work for justice and peace. Just as the promises that are made in our covenantal relationship or marriage are big and require our best efforts, the promises we make in the covenantal relationship of baptism, the covenantal relationship of Christianity, are big and require our best efforts. Divorce, the dissolution of any covenantal relationship, always has far-reaching effects and is never as God intended. From the beginning, we hear that we are meant to be in relationship with each other and with God. Relationships take work, lots of work, and they are always two-way streets. A relationship, by definition, requires the effort of both parties, or as in our baptismal relationship, of all parties. God is in relationship with us always. God always keeps his part of the bargain. It is up to us to keep ours. Thank God our response is, I will, with God's help. Amen.